Perhaps you noticed a similarity between two of the scripture passages we read this morning. The first, we heard of Paul's encounter with Lydia. Paul, having heard in a vision an invitation to go to Macedonia, where he goes, and in Philippi, he meets Lydia on the Sabbath. And Lydia is a merchant, and she is by the river praying on the Sabbath. When she meets Paul, she hears what Paul has to say, and she is converted. Her whole house is baptized, and they begin there the first Christian community in Macedonia. The second story, we hear of the invalid by the pool, who has been there for a long time, who has been sick for 38 years, and wants desperately to be brought into this water, which he believes has healing powers, properties, but he can't get there. And Jesus says to him that there's nothing in that pool for him. Jesus tells him to take up his mat, to stand up and walk, and he does. And we are told that this, too, happened on the Sabbath. Almost a throwaway piece of information for both stories. But both of these encounters happened on the Sabbath. So much of Jesus' ministry happens on the Sabbath. It happens over and over again where he makes someone well on the Sabbath, where he says something about the Sabbath. So we know that it was pretty important to Jesus. But we know as well from the fact that the gospel writers mention this, that Paul mentions it, that time and time again, we keep hearing of things that happen on the Sabbath that by the rules of the day aren't supposed to happen. So we can probably figure out that there was a lot of controversy at the time around this idea of Sabbath, around how we keep it and who gets to decide how it's kept. And there we have a system of being on the inside if you keep the rules or being on the outside. And Jesus had some pretty strong opinions about that. Jesus does not keep the rules that he's supposed to. He heals people. He does the work of God on the Sabbath. But I don't think that he did it simply to highlight the absurdity of the Pharisees, who were the guardians of this rule. I think Jesus was thinking bigger than that. I think Jesus wanted us and wanted those who he encountered to re-envision the Sabbath as a vision of space and time in which God's dream for the world can be made real. He wasn't saying not to keep it. He wasn't saying to throw it out. But he was saying to get beyond just the rules, especially if the rules are giving you an excuse for keeping some people out and some people in. But to think bigger, to think broader, to re-envision this time as a space in which God's dream of the world can become real. It's on a Sabbath that Paul meets Lydia in this town where neither of them grew up. They're both from somewhere else. And it's on the Sabbath where they encounter one another and a spark is lit and a new community begins. It's on the Sabbath that Jesus meets this invalid and tells him, don't worry about the pool. Just get up and walk. It's on the Sabbath that new things, holy things, are brought into the world. Now, in order for new things to come into the world on the Sabbath, I think we need to think a bit intentionally about what it means to keep the Sabbath. If we jump ahead from the stories where we started to see the Sabbath not only as a vision for what can be, but also a specific thing to keep, it's worth thinking about how we do that. If I were to ask us, now, how do we become better keepers of the Sabbath? I'm sure a lot of us, including me, would say, what a great idea, but who has time? There's so many things which keep us from observing, from creating this kind of space. And it's worth remembering that keeping the Sabbath isn't a good suggestion or a nice idea, that it's one of the commandments. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And thinking of it that way, remember that the commandments are about basic things that we do in order to be in relationship with one another, to have community, and to be in relationship with God. We have these, usually when we think of commandments, we think of the heavier ones. Don't do harm. Don't take life. Don't bear false witness. Those are all about maintaining trust so that we can live together in community. But we also have this commandment to keep the Sabbath, to keep it sacred, so that we know to leave space in our busy worlds, to leave space for our relationship with God to bloom and to grow. This is Sabbath as space and time in which God's vision can become more real. It's envisioning Sabbath not just as a day of recreation, but of recreation. Recreation of ourselves, recreation of our world into something that God envisions for it. Now, I've been doing some work with the Sabbath in the clergy forum for the last few weeks, and someone in the forum suggested to me a wonderful interview on Fresh Air with Terry Gross with a woman named Judith Shulevitz. And this was about a month ago. She wrote a book recently called The Sabbath World. And she is a journalist and has a young family. And it occurred to her fairly recently that she wanted more. Not that she didn't have a successful career and a wonderful family. She had these things. But she wanted something more than the sameness that she experienced every day. She felt that her life had become all about striving. And even though she was doing something which I presume she loved, this sense of striving all the time began to take over her whole life. And she knew that she wanted more. And so what she and her family did was they went back to the blueprint of the Jewish tradition in which she had grown up, and they began to really keep the Sabbath. They began every Friday night with a big dinner, where they would invite people over, a great festive thing. The next day they would go to temple. They would have another special meal at lunchtime. They would then have some kind of a family adventure, and then they'd have another special meal that evening, and became a ritual. And her whole family began to really follow it. I think they had some trouble along the way, just because we all would have to adjust to something like that. And, of course, she has young children. She says, yes, I have a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old, and we have soccer practice, and we all have this. Yeah, I get it. But she learned that they found really wonderful things in this time together as they were able to carve it out and really be intentional about keeping it. Well, what she described to me as I was listening to this in her family's intentional recreation, she was allowing space and time for recreation, time for real communion with her family members, with people. They, of course, were so busy in their lives that they became disconnected throughout the week. And unless they learned to create this space on this one day, they would lose sight of one another. They could very easily completely miss that opportunity. And they found by keeping these traditions and these rules that they found a space for reconnection among themselves. And from that, I hear that if we don't step back from our lives of striving to see a vision of God's world, if we don't intentionally step back, we very well may not see that vision at all. Keeping Sabbath means choosing to put enough space between ourselves and this idea of sameness so that we can really question it and perhaps even move beyond it. Because there is so much in sameness to question. So much of our world is more of the same. Things that do not honor the fullness of our human dignity. Things that do not celebrate each of us as children of God. And we say that's more of the same, but that doesn't make it okay. And we are called here to imagine, to live more fully into an idea not of what's the same, but of what could be. Dan Allender, who wrote a book called Sabbath, writes, "Sabbath is about allowing the not yet to become more real than the is." And how, he asks, should this form our Sabbath? Simply, a Sabbath gives no time to any division, accusation, or dark loyalty to one side versus another, nor look into any abyss between the divided sides. Sabbath is a day that celebrates the one and true day of reconciliation. The Sabbath asks, how would you live if there were no wars, enmity, battle lines, or need to defend, explain, interpret, or influence another to see anything differently? This is a day on which we give no haven to thoughts or allegiances that are divisive, that do anything less than honor the dignity of every human being. That's what it means to truly keep the Sabbath and to be transformed by it. And it's a vision of the Sabbath that I believe is so far beyond anything the Pharisees were able to imagine. Jesus wasn't simply trying to loosen their grip on power by showing how absurd it was not to heal people on the Sabbath. That would just be about Jesus gaining power. Jesus, I believe, wanted to redeem this day of recreation and transformation for all people. And no one can speak of the need for transformation better than the invalid who sat by the pool, waiting for a chance to get better. He could tell you what it's like to be the weakest. He could tell you what it's like to be left behind, trampled, and ignored by all those people in the crowd who couldn't see past me first, who could only live a life according to the rules of survival of the fittest. Jesus wanted him to see that it wasn't about that, that life is about transformation. He told the man not to worry about the pool or to all those people fighting to get there. Jesus instead told the man to stand, to walk, and to turn away from the pool itself, to be transformed, to live a life of fullness and dignity. And he did this, we are told, on the day of recreation. Jesus did all this on the Sabbath, the day on which we are called to experience the joy and delight of God's dream for us.